Thanks for listening to the Best of Herd Podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday from 12 to 3 Eastern, 9 to noon Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and FS1. Find your local station for the Herd at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching Herd.
This is the Best of the Herd with Colin Cowherd on Fox Sports Radio.
This is the Herd. I am Jason McIntyre filling in for Colin Cowherd. Friday the 13th, probably one of the most memorable Friday the 13th of my life, and certainly yours. The sports world has come to a screeching halt, but we're here for you, iHeartRadio, Fox Sports Radio. I don't know if you're in your cubicle, you're in your car, you're at home huddling with your family, but boy, we have a lot to talk about today. Not necessarily in the sports world, more just life. I guess the latest you guys just heard, the Masters has been postponed, not canceled like the NCAA tournament. The Masters postponed. NASCAR this weekend officially postponed. Folks, there's nothing to gamble on. I got to say, March, I've argued for the longest time, March is my second favorite month on the sports calendar. November's always first, right? You got the NFL, college football, you got the NBA, college basketball. For me, November's the best, but March Madness is just amazing. Love it. Gamble on it. Do a lot of stuff for Fox Sports, Fox Sports Radio, FS1. And I was all geeked. You know, they told me I was going to host the Herd today. And a week ago today, just a week ago, I was like, oh my gosh, the Thursday night NBA games are amazing. Lakers, Rockets. After the Lakers crushed the Rockets, I would, you know, keep promoting LeBron's the MVP. Lakers are going to the finals. LeBron at 35 is going to win a title. I was going to talk a little NCAA tournament. I had this amazing thing planned where I know the Bucks are reeling. The Bucks were supposed to play the Celtics last night. Bucks were going to lose that game, obviously, because the Bucks are struggling. Giannis is hurt. And I was going to talk about how Giannis should move on. I have other teams in mind. I had this great show planned, and then, you know, life happened. And everything changed. It was Wednesday, technically. You know, my kid plays third grade basketball. If you guys listen to my Saturday radio show, you know I talk about hashtag dad life. I coach my first grade daughter in basketball, coach my third grade son in basketball, and we have a March Madness tournament. And we went to the championship last year and lost. And we were going to be a high seed this year. We were very excited, make a run. We had practice Wednesday. Only a couple kids showed up because of the coronavirus and other, you know, commitments to baseball and so forth. And we get out of practice. We're heading toward the dinner table, and my phone starts blowing up. Rudy Gobert has coronavirus. What? Rudy Gobert? And then, of course, everybody sees the video. Rudy Gobert acting like a buffoon, rubbing microphones, rubbing tape recorders, mocking the coronavirus just 2 days before. Okay? And then within minutes, Tom Hanks has the coronavirus. And this was the tipping point, right? Everybody before was kind of like, coronavirus, it's happening in Asia. Italy's got some problems. But we're sheltered a little bit over here, folks. Let's admit it. Nobody really took the coronavirus seriously. Now, again, Saturday radio show I've been doing, I don't want to say I've been pressing the panic button, but for 2 weeks I've been telling you guys, yo, get to Costco, load up. I'm not saying take all the toilet paper. I'm not saying get all the batteries. I'm not saying get all the disinfectant wipes, but you guys better be prepared. And I want to turn back the clock a bit to when I was a little kid. And folks, every single day at about, you know, 6 o'clock, I'd wake up and I would go to the bottom of my driveway and I'd pick up the Washington Post. Yeah, I know the millennials listening, oh, newspaper delivery, what's that? And I would pull out the sports section, just the sports section, because I was a sports nut as a kid, right? I played every sport. My parents said, hey, you want to play tennis? You want to play basketball, golf, soccer, traveling soccer teams? It was great. And my dad, every single morning, Jason, you got to read more than sports. Come on. And I'm like, no, I'm a punk. I'm arrogant. I just want to know sports. I would go into class. This is real. In sixth grade with my buddy, and we would play a game. What college did this NBA player go to? You could ask me any player in the late 80s, early 90s, and I knew where he went to college. LeBradford Smith. Goulet's looking at me over here. Who's LeBradford Smith? I mean, I got tons of names. And we would do this every day because I would inhale the sports section every morning before school. Box scores, recaps, you name it. Mike Wilbon and Kornheiser, I would read them in the Washington Post every day. And my dad steadfastly, you got to get a global perspective, Jason. So, of course, it took like 15 years before I was like, oh, Dad, that was really smart. I wish I had listened earlier and got the global perspective. So what have I been doing these last, 6 weeks? I've been aware of the coronavirus. And it's been serious overseas. And again, 700 million people in China were basically under house arrest for a month to 6 weeks. Like, don't leave your house. The Apple stores are closed. Everything is shut down. This was for like 6 weeks. Macau, which is like the gambling hub over there, closed casinos for 2 weeks. And listen, here in America, hasn't happened yet. We were talking at our meeting before the show. I'm of the belief that Vegas will shut down for a week or at least at the minimum. If you go look right now, you can't gamble on anything because nothing's happening, right? So I've been on this coronavirus for a few weeks, and I'm not going to be that guy who's alarmist because, trust me, I went on social media and people who listen to the podcast would be like, Jason, man, what is with the fear? Why are you doing this? Why are you freaking out so much? I'm saying, guys, it's coming here. I'm telling you, Italy 3 weeks ago, business as usual. Travel, drinking wine, having fun. Italy right now, restaurants are closed. We're going to go there in America. That is coming. I don't know about you guys. School has been canceled for my kids for several weeks. Spring break's coming up. It'll probably be a 3-week break. And I just want you guys out there, be smart. That's all I say. You don't have to be fearful. You don't have to panic. We're here for you to tell you, guys, you want to be smart. We've got an infectious disease expert coming on here in about 45 minutes. And I have questions. I know you have questions. We're going to open the phone line, something that Colin Cowherd rarely does. We're going to open the phone lines. And you guys, any questions you want me to ask this guy, you send them on over. Because I'm telling you right now, I play in a regular pickup basketball game. And after the Rudy Gobert news Wednesday, my wife said, you're not going to play basketball. No way. Are you crazy? So the guys went to play pickup basketball at my gym today. It's the old Clippers facility out here in Los Angeles. Usually a full court run. The basketball courts are closed. We go work out to a bunch of other guys, go work out at F45, the Mark Wahlberg thing. Yeah, nobody's going there. Nobody's going to the gym. Everybody's being smart. You've got to listen to these infectious disease experts. You just have to. Tom Hanks, Rudy Gobert, Donovan Mitchell. This is just the tip of the iceberg. I'm not saying it's going to get worse and these are end of days. Although, I do kind of tend toward being one of those end of days guys. I probably shouldn't bring that up here. Basically, only two people know it. My wife and my brother. They know I'm one of these guys who's kind of sort of paranoid. I'll never project that. I'll never talk about it with others. But they know, I kind of tend to these end of days movies. Day After Tomorrow, Jake Gyllenhaal. You guys remember that? Deep Impact. Weirdly, I love those movies. Armageddon. Last night, I'm flipping around because there's nothing on sports to watch. And I stumble upon PBS. Thank you, Dad, for pushing me toward PBS. And there was something that I highly recommend. You can go watch a little bit of it on YouTube. It's called The American Experience, Influenza 1918. Okay? And, I'm watching it and I'm preparing for the show. And my wife is listening to some of this. She turns over and is like, Jason, don't watch this before you go to bed. I know you. You probably shouldn't be watching this. But I'm not going to be. I'm not going to freak out. This is just where we are now. And we're going to be here for 3 or 4 weeks. America's probably going to shut down. I think the NBA will come back in 30 days. Adam Silver spoke last night talking about at least 30 days. And folks, let's be realistic. NBA should probably punt on the regular season and go right into the playoffs, which would hugely favor the Lakers. I'll tell you why in about 5 minutes. But an alternative is, hey, maybe we extend the season 30 days, push back the draft, push back free agency. And another topic we're going to get into. Kevin Durant and Kyrie Irving, you guys coming back if the season is extended? What about Klay Thompson if the season's extended? I mean, obviously the Warriors are way out of it. They can't get in the playoff picture. But these are things we can actually talk about in the sports world because we're here for you. We're not going anywhere. Fox Sports Radio, iHeartRadio, we will be on every day talking sports, talking about life. Everybody's going to know somebody out there who has the coronavirus. You got to be healthy. You got to be smart. Folks, I do want to wrap up here with this story. You know, I hosted The Herd on January 1st to start the new year. Very exciting. And I told this story, and a couple people loved it. And it goes back to my son, again, the third grader. You know, I signed him up for jiu-jitsu. And they got this sensei in class talking before class, kind of teaching the kids about bullying and all this stuff. And the sensei tells a story. He says, so there's this group of kids walking down the street to the dojo, right? And they come upon the corner of the street to cross, and there's a man with a horse on the corner. And, of course, this large group of kids walking to the dojo kind of surprise the horse. So the horse involuntarily kicks back. The horse just kicks back. And the kid at the front of the jiu-jitsu line, you know, the best student, dodges the horse kick. Just sideways, just dodges it. And everybody's like, oh, my gosh, he's so amazing. Wait till we tell the sensei this. So the kids get to the dojo. And they're like, sensei, you're not going to believe this story. This horse kicked back. And little Johnny, he dodged it. It was amazing. You had to see it. Too bad we didn't get it on video. We could have put it on TikTok. Ha, ha, ha. And the dojo goes silent. The sensei has this look on his face. This disdain. He's just unhappy. And he goes, if he was my star student, he would have been on the other side of the street. And they're all like, whoa. Whoa. We didn't consider that. The lesson, of course, avoid trouble. Be smart. Just be smart out there. That's all we're saying. You don't need to be a hero and be like, ah, coronavirus. I'm going to shake hands. I'm going to touch door handles. I mean, listen, my wife reminded me. This is going to sound really bad. I haven't touched a door handle probably in 5 or 6 years. I'm using my feet to open doors. I'm using a paper towel. I don't know if other people are washing their hands. I'm just telling you guys out there, be smart.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio, FS1, and the iHeartRadio app.
Rudy Gobert was the tipping point here in America. Personally, I think in the long term, in the big picture, Rudy Gobert will be looked at as, I don't know, maybe hero's a bit strong, but he will be looked at favorably because he was the one that got everybody to wake the hell up here in America to the coronavirus, basically put a halt to everything. And did he save lives? Yeah, I think you can argue here in the next coming couple weeks, you're going to see that this, you know, containment is futile at this point. So the only way is to just stop. Stop going to concerts, stop going out in public to sporting events. And when there's no sporting events, you can't go out. So I think Rudy Gobert quickly got us to a point where we realized, hey, we got to shut it down. We should shut down the NCAA tournament. And yes, there's like an 18% chance I'm going to cry when I'm talking about the NCAA tournament later in the show. Folks, I don't think you realize how much I love that thing. I was showing my kid one shining moment from 2019 last night. And my kids are like, Dad, you look sad. I'm like, guys, this is one of the most fun things every year. I gamble on like 85% of the games. 2 years ago, I had my best run ever. I'm not a go-to-Vegas the first weekend guy. Goulet has tickets to Vegas. We'll talk to him soon to find out if he's going to hold up that end and still go with no games. Who knows if Vegas will even be open. But hopefully, the NBA will return in 30 days, as Adam Silver said last night. And I think, and again, we still don't know if they're going to continue the regular season. There's a 15-ish games left. Or if they're just going to cut right to the playoffs. But I can confidently say this. If they go right to the playoffs, this would be the seeding in the West. Lakers, Grizzlies in the first round. You got to figure Lakers dust them in 4, maybe 5. Then the Lakers, because of a late Rocket swoon and the Thunder won 3 in a row, the Lakers would face the winner of the Jazz or Thunder in the first round. Now, that to me is massive. The one team in the West outside of the Clippers that I am remotely afraid of, if I'm the Lakers, are the Houston Rockets. And that's because of the high variance due to the three-pointers. You guys know they're averaging 44.3 point attempts a game? You get hot for a few games, boom, you're in trouble if you're the Lakers. The Rockets can go on a tear. Now, the opposite is true, okay? Rockets could go out in 5. If they miss 27 threes in a row like they did against the Warriors, Rockets will be toast. But that's a team that scares me. They're not in the Lakers bracket now. The Clippers would have to play them. And I think, you know, that's kind of a tough series. Could be. for the Paperclips. They'd have to face Luka Doncic and then James Harden. You know, for me, that's the third and fourth, you know, MVP guys in the league this year. So I think this layoff from a seeding standpoint favors the Lakers. And then from a rest standpoint, LeBron James, 35 years old. I think he's third all-time in the NBA history in minutes played. He's averaging 25, 10, and 7, and you're going to give him a month off? I think LeBron gets helped by this layoff more than any other team in the league. But I can, you know, I can understand Clippers fans will say, well, we haven't been healthy all year. We're going to have Paul George, Pat Beverly, everybody's going to be back. That's fine. Lakers just beat you guys healthy. Okay. In the East, three actually jump out. Number one, is Ben Simmons going to be healthy with this 30-day layoff? I still am on the Ben Simmons train. I guess I'm on Ben Simmons Island at this point, you know, all alone. Please send help. I think Ben Simmons is still a top 15 player in the league. I think if he comes back, Sixers can be dangerous. Also, Celtics, Kemba Walker, if he comes back after the 30-day layoff, we know he's had some nagging knee injuries. But the big one that nobody knows is Kyrie Irving and Kevin Durant. So the Nets just fired their coach. A lot of the blame is being placed on Kyrie and KD. Is that fair? I don't know. But Kevin Durant, if the season's postponed a month, 30 days, as Adam Silver said, Kevin Durant now will have about a year in between the Achilles injury. Kyrie Irving, can he return? Suddenly, the Nets is a 7 seed. Oh, hello. Are they dangerous? I'm still the only guy on planet Earth who doesn't think the Bucks are coming out of the East. My preseason pick for the NBA Finals was Celtics-Lakers. Go check out my Instagram. It's on there. I promise you nobody else had that.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific.
Folks, our next guest here is just an incredible, smart man from Johns Hopkins Center for Health Security. His name is Amish Adalja. Amish, good morning. How are you, doctor?
Good. Good. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, I heard you on the Sam Harris podcast. Very informative. I've seen your TV work. And we just have so many questions, kind of from a sports world perspective, on the coronavirus. And I got to ask you first, right out of the gate, where do you think we are in the, you know, the disease? Are we in the early stages? Is this the middle round? Is shutting down everything the way Italy has? Is that the move to go? And that, do you think that's where America's headed here in the coming days?
I do think that America is sort of in the early rounds right now. We've had transmission probably going on at least since January here in local chains that really weren't recognized. And I do think that it's the next couple of days into a week are going to be very critical to understand where we are on what's called the epidemic curve and see if we're on to a trajectory that's hopefully not like Italy or something much different. And I do think that that's why you're seeing a lot of this social distancing now, because we're trying to kind of clamp down on unnecessary contact between individuals to see if we can have some way of blunting this curve. But it's very hard to know because we've had such a difficulty getting people tested for this. And so we're kind of in many ways flying a little bit blind when it comes to knowing where we are on the curve.
Yeah, doctor, I got to start with the testing next. I mean, goodness gracious. I don't want to make it political, but can we figure out how to get on South Korea's level here and start to test everybody quickly? Because, you know, it seems like nobody's being tested in America. And the concern then, of course, is if everybody's tested and everybody panics because they have it, then the hospitals are flooded. I don't know. What do you feel, doctor, should be the strategy here for testing?
We definitely have to make it easier for doctors to order this test. This isn't something that should take a lot of bureaucracy, a lot of paperwork, and a lot of headache for a doctor to order. They should be able to order it on those patients they think merit a test. That might not mean everybody, but it does mean that we need to be testing much more, including some mild cases, at least for surveillance purposes, so that we know where this is in the community. And we need to start getting people diagnosed and instructing them to isolate themselves if they don't need to be hospitalized. And this is something that's very simple, and that's probably what's behind South Korea's success, that they were able to identify people and have them self-isolate, and that caused their epidemic curve to be a little bit different. And their case fatality rate is less than 1% there, which I think is reassuring to people. But we need to be able to do that to dampen the panic and really get a handle on what's going on.
Okay, Dr. Adalja, let me ask the most basic question here. And there's a lot of misinformation online, which is frustrating. So if people could put down social media and listen to the doctor here. Number one, how is this spreading? I mean, people want to know, when I go to the grocery store, should I wear gloves to handle the grocery cart? When I go to Costco, is it, you know, if somebody's sneezing, how dangerous is that? Can I play basketball? What about hot yoga? Doctor, these are just the basics we're curious about.
Sure. So this is spreading through the respiratory route, meaning through coughs and sneezes that emanate from someone's body. They usually travel about 6 feet before being captured by the force of gravity and kind of falling to the earth. So they're not something that it's not something airborne like measles, for example. There are risks of touching surfaces that someone has coughed or sneezed on, and that's why we're emphasizing people wash their hands a lot. That's not the main way it's transmitting, but it is one way that you can get it. For each of those activities, you really have to think about your own risk factors, what you might be facing in terms of health problems, what your age is, and then kind of make those decisions for yourself. In general, we want people to start thinking about all of their activities that are non-essential and trying to think, can you modify them to put yourself less in contact with other people? It's not that everyone that gets this is going to get seriously ill, but you don't want the virus to use you as a chain of transmission to someone that might be more vulnerable. So we're trying to get people to social distance as best as they can, but we know that this is disruptive and that there's a cost to social distancing, and sometimes that's hard from a policy standpoint, even from an individual standpoint, to decide what the best action is to take.
All right, we're talking with Dr. Amish Adalja, Johns Hopkins. Doctor, what about the basics thing like, hey, I get a package from Amazon. You know, it's come domestically, not from China. Is this something where I should wipe it down before I open the package? What about getting my mail from the mailbox? I mean, we don't know if the mailman has coronavirus. Should we be wiping down everything we open from the mail?
I suspect that the risk from mail and from packages is very, very low. And I would probably tell people that's not going to be the way that you get infected. I mean, obviously, you can find studies that show that this virus can remain viable on surfaces. But in most everyday life, I don't think you're going to find those types of things as mail or packages being major carriers for it, or your mailman or mail carrier being the main way that you're going to get exposed to this. It's really coughs and sneezes from other people. And I think that people need to not necessarily become compulsive about all of that stuff, but a lot of common sense with touching common surfaces like countertops, that type of thing is what we're really talking about. Less so the packages in the mail or anything like that. Although there's going to be panic and people are going to do that, and it's going to be impossible to stop people from doing that. But I don't think that's a major risk that I myself am worried about. And I'm going to go check my mail as soon as I get off the phone with you.
All right, doctor. How about this one? We have a lot of young parents listening to this show who have kids playing youth sports such as baseball or soccer. Currently, the leagues are shutting down for a week or two to assess things. But, you know, if you're playing youth baseball and someone grabs a bat and goes to, you know, the next guy up grabs a bat, like, is that a way it could be transferred? Or is, you know, do you recommend holding our kids out of youth sports for a few weeks?
Well, I think some of those decisions are being made for you because there's a lot of guidance going on from these youth the leagues. And I was actually on the NCAA panel regarding March Madness, the coronavirus task force. So there are a lot of things that we're trying to do. And one of them is not necessarily transmission between sports players, but we're congregating people together at games. And we know that large gatherings can be vectors for spreading a virus. So that's why we're trying, at least in these next 2 weeks, to try and see if these activities have an impact and see where we are in terms of the outbreak. I do think that there is probably minimal risk from using a baseball bat that somebody else has used. Again, it's important to wash your hands and touch your face less, but I think that these household objects are probably less likely responsible for the spread than actual symptomatic individuals coughing or sneezing on each other.
All right, doctor, this is a perfect transition. You just said you were on the NCAA panel, the Coronavirus Task Force. Let me ask, was there consideration of postponing the tournament or versus canceling it outright? Because a lot of the, you know, obviously the seniors and the teams are devastated. Was it cancellation or nothing?
No, if you look at our decision-making, at first, our first decision-making was to have the tournament without fans. And then what happened was you saw multiple different schools just closing and sending all their students home. And remember, these athletes are students too. So if those colleges were actually not operating, it became less likely that this type of thing would be feasible. And we in setting an example regarding mass gatherings, and that the Final Four tournament is a major mass gathering. Mm-hmm. There was no desire for the NCAA to really put people at risk, put fans at put players at risk, put officials at risk, put media people that might be there, and we didn't want to contribute to the spread of this virus. So it was the best decision to make based on where we are, and I think that these things are definitely hard decisions to make, and there's a lot of disruption that occurs, but we really had to think about what would be best for the spread of this virus and trying to contain this virus. And a mass gathering like that could really be a major advantage for this virus. And we did not want to be part of that. And I think that was the best decision to make, given where we are in this outbreak.
All right, Doctor, just two more. Let's pivot from college to the NBA. So, obviously in college basketball, colleges stopped operating. There's none of that in the NBA. Do you believe we will be back in 30 days, or have you been asked anything by the NBA regarding the coronavirus? What are your thoughts on professional basketball here in America?
I wasn't involved in any of the on any of the NBA decisions. I think that has to be made. That's going to be context driven. So we need to see where we are in the outbreak curve and what's going on in our communities. What we know about the severity of the disease. I think we'll know a lot more even by a week from now, and I think that will help make those decisions. So I don't want to say whether or not when it will be right to have these types of mass gatherings. I think for the next couple of weeks, though, it makes sense to try and see if we can get some control of this virus by trying to do as much as we can voluntarily to limit the opportunities the virus has to spread, and we have to revisit this.
All right, Doctor, final question. So the big talking point is, hey, if you're young, you're going to be fine. If you're a kid, you're going to be fine. It's only the old people to worry about. And the stat that keeps getting parroted out, I'm not sure where it came from, is that 80% of the cases in China were mild. Can you just speak to that and the age demographic breakdown? What's true, what's false, what and all that?
Sure. So it is true that 80% of individuals who get this seem to have mild disease, and it might be even higher because the Chinese data might be skewed. But that doesn't mean that it's nothing. It does mean that you're going to be out, that you're going to have a severe cold. And the important thing is that you can transmit that on to other people who may not have that same risk profile that you have. So that's why it's important to really focus on that 20%, which tend to cluster in the elderly, which tend to cluster in people with other medical conditions. And we're trying to not allow the virus to use us as a transmission belt to them. That's why we're worried about this, because if you do see, case fatality ratios of 1%, that can be tremendous, because we know that our hospitals operate near total capacity all the time. And that's what we're really worried about, is our hospitals not being able to cope with the patient surge that they're going to get. And that's happened even with a virus that may have less than 1% mortality, because if there is a large demand for ICU beds and hospital beds that we don't have, that's going to really put the U.S. healthcare system in crisis. And that's what we're worrying about. We're trying to really not worry so much about the mild cases, but the fact that those mild cases can get to people that are severe and that are going to use hospital resources and require a lot of care to get through this. And that's going to be too much for many hospitals to bear. That's what we're worried about.
Thank you very much, Dr. Amish Adalja. Great stuff. He's a Johns Hopkins Center for Health Security Senior Scholar. Doctor, good luck, and thank you very much.
Thank you.
Want more Herd? The Herd streams 24 hours a day, 7 days a week within the iHeartRadio app. Search Herd to listen live or on demand whenever you'd like.
It's really unbelievable what happened to the end of the college basketball season. March Madness canceled for the first time that I'm ever aware of. And for a team like San Diego State, which had a phenomenal season, 30-2, they were looking at a 1, maybe 2 seed in the NCAA tournament. This is how good the Aztecs were. 2 losses by a combined 6 points. Let's welcome to the show Brian Dutcher, the head basketball coach, San Diego State Aztecs. Brian, good morning. How are you?
Thanks for having me, Jason.
Yeah, it's one of those melancholy days. No NCAA tournament. I still can't fathom it. I don't think it's set in. How did you handle it, Brian, when you heard the news?
Sad for the kids. As a coach, you always have opportunities to go, and I've been blessed to having been at Michigan with Steve Fisher since 1988-89, all the way through the 20 years here at San Diego State, I've been to the tournament. But for those kids that get to go that one time and be denied the opportunity, it's hard to swallow.
Yeah, it seems very, very not only hard to swallow, but just unfair. I mean, that's the word that comes to mind. You know, you guys had I would say this is the best season in San Diego State history. I know Kawhi Leonard was on some good teams there, but 30-2, Brian, 1 or 2 seed. Was there any case to be made from the coaches, the players? Was there a lobbying faction that said, hey, let's just postpone it, let's not cancel it?
I think it's all the wording. You know, at first when this was going down, there was a group of coaches that wanted it suspended, kind of like the NBA said. And you know, everything changes so fast.
Yeah.
You know, over 24 hours, we went from playing it with no fans to canceling the whole thing. So my thought was, where are we going to be in 3 weeks from now, a month from now? It could change drastically, and maybe we'll have an opportunity to play it. But at the same time, I understand that public health is the number one concern. And I understand that they thought canceling it was in the best interest of everyone.
So, Brian, do you believe that they should move forward this weekend to at least seed the teams and just to put, for some reason, to put that out there and maybe give the teams, the schools, the players a sense of accomplishment that, hey, we made the tournament? Do you think they should still seed the tournament?
You know, that's one of the classic moments, isn't it, when you see your name come up on
yeah.
the board? And you have that celebration moment and that thought, wow, we're here, where our name's on the board. And that sometimes that's as exciting as anything. And I think it's tough to do now, if you know, to put them up on the board. But it is a moment that we all are going to miss.
So we're talking with Brian Dutcher, head coach, San Diego State. They went 30-2 this season. Brian, if you could, and again, the speculation on how you guys would have done is crazy, but you were looking at a 1 or 2 seed, probably geographically being in the West. Listen, you've been around college basketball since the Fab Five. Obviously, you know the landscape. I don't know. Can you talk a little bit about, did you thought this team could win a national title, obviously, correct?
I think we were good enough to compete for one. Whether you do or not, it's such a great event. And that's why it's so great, is that it's a one and done, that upsets happen every game. And that teams, they kind of determine their own fate. And we had a team that was senior laden. We had 2 fifth-year senior starters, a fourth-year junior, two true juniors. And so we had the experience and kind of the chemistry to be good in March. But whether that ever would have happened or not, yeah. I guess we'll never know.
I mean, the KenPom advanced stats loved San Diego State. Top 15 offense and defense, top 12 in three-point percentage. Like, everything lined up for your team. I will ask, have you followed any of the news in the last here 90 minutes about the NCAA looking to petition spring sports and potentially winter sports to maybe give these fifth-year seniors a shot at redemption next year? Have you followed any of this news?
Yeah, a little bit. I can see the spring sports, because they didn't get to compete at all, really. The interesting thing with giving the winter sports like basketball a fifth year, are you only giving it to the teams that didn't play their conference tournaments or the NCAA tournament? And then that's a competitive advantage. The teams that maybe had guys that finished their careers, now you're going to give them a fifth year too. So I think there's a lot to it, more than just saying the feel-good, let's give the guys that didn't make the tournament a fifth year. I think all of a sudden you say, now we have 360-some teams, we're going to allow every senior to come back for a fifth year, even those that really completed their season.
Yeah.
Conference tournaments were done. And so I think there's a lot more thought that needs to go into it. I think the intention is good and the thought is good, but I think obviously the devil's in the details.
Yes, certainly. Well, Brian, what about recruiting? What kind of possible impact could that have, not only on the seniors sticking around, but, you know, the coronavirus? You can't hit the recruiting trail anytime soon. Nobody's playing anywhere. AAU shut down.
No, a lot of this has to do with now late visits. You know, all of a sudden the transfer market is opening. You'd like to bring kids in for visits. That's not going to happen. You know, the opportunity to go out and meet their families is being pushed back. And so everything just – I had a player come in. I met with all our players today one-on-one, and they said it's like the world's been put on pause. And that's what it is. Everything's put on pause. Competition's put on pause. Recruiting's put on pause. Going out to restaurants or movies for some people is put on pause. So we're all in a pause mode right now. And when that ends and how quickly it ends is going to be based on what happens with the coronavirus.
Yeah, Brian Dutcher, head coach, San Diego State. Amazing season, coach. Congratulations. And, you know, if there's any luck, maybe we'll see an NCAA tournament at some point in May or June. Thank you so much, Brian.
Thanks for having me, Jason.